Let's continue where we left off in terms of Inyanei Pesach. The last time, earlier this week, we had begun to discuss some Hilchos Pesach. We had been following through the Seder of the Shulchan Aruch. He goes in chronological order. So we spoke a little bit about the Shloshim Makonim HaChag and some of the lead up as Pesach gets closer. And we spoke about some of the practicalities of Bedikas Chametz. Now, there's an interesting Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara in Daf Dalet has a discussion: whose Chiyuv Bedika is it? Let's say I own property, but you live there. You have a landlord and a tenant. Do you have a Jew who owns an apartment building? Tens of tenants. There's 60 families living in that building. And everyone's Jewish. 60 Jewish families and one Jewish landlord. So who's Chiyuv B'dikas Chametz, is it? And the Jewish landlord has a Chiyuv B'dikas Chametz in all the 60 apartments? So the Gemara says, absolutely not. It's a Chovas Hadar. It's a Chiyuv on the person who lives there. The Socher, the Chiyuv B'dikas, is on the Socher. If I'm the renter, I'm the tenant, so I don't own the property, you own the property. If I'm the one who lives there, so it's my Chiyuv B'dikas Chametz. So then the girl wants to know, one second, let's push this a little further. So at what point in time is that Chiyuv Nikba? At what point in time is that Chiyuv Nikba? So let's say I have, I'm starting a lease, I'm leasing a property for Pesach, or I happen to be starting a lease right before Pesach, or ending a lease right before Pesach. So what's the magic moment? When is the Chiyuv B'dikas Chametz? At which moment are we going to say who has possession? The Gemara says we care about Mesiras Mafteches, the handing over of the keys. Did it happen before or after the beginning of the night of the 14th? In other words, the night of the 14th, Leil Or L'Arba, so the night of Erev Pesach, the night of Bedikas Chametz, once that night, at the beginning of that night, that's in the Halacha's Koveya, who is on the hook for Bedikas Chametz. So if I start a rental on the 13th of Nisan, I'm already renting by the time the night of the 14th comes in, so it's my chiyuv, it's the renter's chiyuv of Bedikas Chametz. But if you only take over the rental later on, later that night or the next morning, so then the chiyuv already was chal on the previous guy. So that has a lot of practical relevance, less this year than in most. That has relevance to mechiras chametz as well. Let's explain. Let's back up a little bit, talk about the basic concept of Mechiras Chametz, where it comes from and how it works, and then we'll see how these two things interact. The concept of Mechiras Chametz and this idea of Mesiras Maftechos and the beginning of Leil Yadal. So what's the story with Mechiras Chametz? Where did it all come from? I think we touched on it a little bit in an earlier shiur. We know, and we had a chance to work be'in on some of the sugyas beginning of Maseches Pesachim, we know that there is an iser against owning chametz, b'ayra b'ayimatzeh, it's the iser d'araisa. We know that there's a mitzvah saseh, tashbisu, to destroy the chametz. Again, we saw that maybe some combination of verbal and mental bitul and physical beer. We have a mitzvah saseh of tashbisu, we have a lav d'araisa of b'ayra b'ayimatzeh, not to own chametz. How do I take care of not owning chametz? I think this we touched on in earlier shiurim. Until not so long ago, most chametz didn't last very long. Certainly chametz gamur, generally, before refrigeration and freezers and chemical preservatives, you baked bread, you made cookies, you made cake. It'll last for a couple of days, maybe a week or two if you're lucky, and eventually it spoils. So in advance of Pesach, Jews would eat up all the chametz and destroy whatever remained. And that's it. And then after Pesach, you start again with fresh chametz. Nowadays, we have, with modern food technology, we have plenty of chametz that can last for weeks, if not months. And already several centuries ago, that reality of preserved chametz existed in the form of whiskey. Specifically over the course, I think we touched on this, over the course of centuries in Europe, there were times when Jews were by governmental decree pushed out of many different lines of work, and as a result of that limiting, there were a disproportionate number of Jews ended up in particular professions that were legally permitted to Jews. And one of those was running an inn, running a kretschmer, running a bar, basically. So the customers are not necessarily Jewish, but the bar owners in certain points in the in Eastern Europe were disproportionately Jewish, because that was one of the few jobs they're allowed to do. So if you own a bar, you have a lot of Jews owning bars, and if you own a bar, so that means you're going to own a lot of stock of beer, a lot of stock of whiskey, and that's chametz in a form that lasts. A barrel of whiskey, it could be worth thousands of dollars, if not more, and that's something that can last for a very long time, for months, for years. So then the question becomes, what are we going to do with all the chametz? If it's a matter of the cake and cookies and bread in the cabinet, okay, so you destroy it all. And now I have thousands, tens of thousands of dollars, a real chametz gomer. So that's when the poskim began to develop this idea of mechiras chametz. Mechiras chametz is based on what the Rishonim discuss in terms of mechiras behema mevakeres. I think this we spoke about weeks ago. The idea of a mechiras behema mevakeres. You have a the din in Chumash is that if I own a behema kashera, I own a cow, or I own a goat, I own a sheep. So if it's having a baby for the first time, and that baby turns out to be male, so that baby, that bechor behema tahora, is supposed to be makab as a carbon. We say it when we say is el makoman. The last mission we talk about bechor v'hamaser v'pesach. A Jew owns a farm. He owns animals, and the kosher animal gives birth to a baby, a healthy baby boy, that's going to be brought as a carbon, which is a beautiful mitzvah. It's a beautiful mitzvah if you have a Beis HaMikdash. When we talked about yesterday, okay, if you could be makrim karbanos on the Mokka HaMikdash. But if you don't have capacity to makrim karbanos, so then it's just asking for trouble. I have an animal on my farm that's kadosh b'kedushas carbon, kadosh b'kedushas aguf, supposed to be a carbon, but I don't have a Beis HaMikdash, I can't be makrim it, it's just trouble. It's just trouble because anyone who uses it is violating Me'ila Daraisa. What are we going to do? We're going to wait for years until it gets a mum. So that's what the post can point out many centuries ago, based on Gemaras and Bukharos, and based on a mission of Bukharos. What you want to do is skirt the issue. What you want to do is make sure that you have a behemoth of Akaris, and you have a mother who's about to give birth to her first baby. You want to take steps, plan ahead, and make sure that that baby, and the 50% chance it's a male, make sure that it will not become kadosh b'kedusha sagov. How do you do that? So based on the Mishnah, in Bechoros, sell a share in the ownership, a stake in the ownership of the animal, no pun intended, but sell a stake in the ownership of the animal to a nachri, in advance of the birth. So that if at the moment that the mother gives birth, that the animal owned jointly by a Jew and a Nachri, there's no Chaloshem Bechor, because it wasn't owned exclusively by a Jew. And then afterwards, you can buy that share of the animal back from Nachri, buy back at a profit, let him profit from it. You buy back at 10% extra, whatever it is, and he had partial possession of the animal at the moment that it gave birth. So that's sort of the original notion of mechira to anachri, a temporary mechira to anachri, to skirt an issue. So that came up by the mevakeres. So centuries later, Poskim said, let's employ that as well for chametz. We'll sell ownership in the chametz to anachri for the course of Pesach, and then afterwards we can renegotiate if he's willing to sell it back. Typically, he doesn't have that much interest in my half a loaf of whole wheat bread and my box of Cheerios and my Fruit Loops and whatever else, so he'd probably be open to renegotiating. So that's where the idea of Mechiras Chametz comes from. Now, you should know that one of the... take your hand and take your question a moment, Dov. Don't go away. One of the questions that the post can raise, one of the concerns post can raise about Mechiras Chametz is it seems like a legal fiction. It's a ha'arama. I mean, technically, I'm selling it to him, but honestly, the reason why I'm selling it to him is because I'm hoping that he'll sell it. I'm hoping and assuming past performance, as I say, is no guarantee of future results, but I am assuming that most likely he's going to sell it back to me. I'm not too concerned about not getting it back. There are Rabbanim who actually, in order to make sure that everyone's taking it seriously, there are Rabbanim who every year bring around the Nachri they sold the chametz to one of the homes over the course of Chol Moed, and he samples some of the chametz, and he'll pay full price for it, but he samples some of the chametz. So that makes it clearer to everyone this is very serious. The Yemen is very serious, but still, it's still a legal fiction. It's still a ha'arama. So Rav Shechter has a beautiful article, and I believe in Bikvei Hatzon, based on Gemara Becharos, where he points out that what seems to emerge from the Gemara is that ha'arama is inappropriate if you're avoiding doing a mitzvah, but it is appropriate if it's merely helping you to avoid doing an avera. So, for instance, in the situation of Bechor, if I live in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, where I have the capacity to be kind of the mitzvah asay of being makar of the Bechor, and I choose to sell the behemoth of Akaras to a Nachri to avoid the issue, that's inappropriate. It may work technically, but that was wrong, because I use a legal fiction to avoid doing a mitzvah. I could have been makar of the Bechor in the Beis HaMikdash. Yes, it would have cost me money, but that's the right thing to do. So I should have done the mitzvah rather than sort of artificially gain around it. There is no capacity to make any mitzvah of Bechor. I cannot bring it as a carbon. So all I'm doing nowadays by selling the mevakeres is I'm avoiding a problem. I'm avoiding falling into the isser of me'ila. So that, Rav Shechter develops, is appropriate. Harama to avoid an avera is appropriate. Lamaisa, the avera is not being done. So now let's bring it over to chametz. If I see the Baruch Hashem's number of hands, we'll take hands, we'll take questions in a moment. Don't go away. If by chametz, if I were to sell away all of my chametz and have nothing left on Erev Pesach, so then I'm avoiding the mitzvah of Tashbisu. So that's inappropriate. But if I'm going to sell away most of my chametz, and then after the chametz is sold, I'll burn, or this year perhaps instead flush away, physically destroy the remaining kazayas or more, if the last kazayas that left of chametz left in my property in Erev Pesach, you know, leaves my property because I destroyed it, whether I burnt it or I flushed it or I crumbled the mefar v'zor ruach, I crumbled it and let it take it to the backyard where I am right now, and let the wind blow it away. If I physically destroyed the last kazayas left, then I was mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu. You don't need, it's not a bigger mitzvah because I destroyed more of it. The question is what happens to the last kazayas in my property. So I could sell away 95% of the chametz that I have. And then after the sale, the last 5%, I'll physically destroy. So then all I used the mechira for, the ha'arama, the legal fiction, is to avoid violating the iser. The 95% of the chametz, because I technically didn't own it, so that's why I did not violate by Rabbi Matzeh. But I didn't avoid the mitzvah of Tashbisu, so I did. After the mechira, I destroyed the remaining chametz. So a couple more things to talk about. One thing I'd like to talk about is how Mechiras Chametz actually works, even in a typical year. And then the other thing is to come back to where we started and to see how Mechira interacts sometimes with the din of Mesiras Maftecha, as we talked about before, that the Chiyuv B'Dikas Chametz is called the beginning of Leil Yadalit. But there are a couple of questions. So Dov, you're waiting for a while. Very good question. Hold on to that for a moment. We're going to talk in a moment. Let's talk right now. How the mechira is structured, and specifically, our shul is one of at least 30 or 40, maybe more, who join Rabbi Willig for mechiras chametz. In a typical year, in years past, I've always invited guys to come along with me to the mechiras chametz to see how. There are two stages. There's the, over the course of the days and weeks leading up to Pesach, we call it Mechiras Chametz, but it's really, you're not selling your Chametz to the rabbi. The rabbi is also Jewish. He doesn't want to own Chametz over Pesach either. You're, over the course of the days and weeks in advance, this year it's all happening online, but there's an author, you're authorizing the rabbi to act as your agent. So you're making him your shliach to act as your agent to sell your Chametz. He's going to sell your Chametz in your behalf. So that's the minu shlichus, or the harsha. But often we'll say there's mechiras chametz hours in shul. What they really mean is authorization for mechiras chametz. You're making the rabbi your shliach. And the minig is, and then you sign your name. There's an old minig to use to do a kinyan suitor of some sort, even that's not technically required. But that's the preliminary stage. Then with the actual mechiras chametz happens right before Pesach. And I can tell you that I'm one of many rabbanim who come to Riverdale in a typical year. And you have a whole lineup of Rabbanim, each one under the aegis of Rabbi Willig, selling the chametz of X number of congregants. I'll come and say, I'm here on behalf of 150 families who are interested in selling their chametz to you, Mr. Brown. That is his name. The Nachir Hutum, we sell the chametz, and Mr. John Brown. Now, Mr. John Brown is a Nachri to whom Rabbi Willig has been selling chametz for many years, and this speaks to your issue, Dov. It is hard to say that there's real gemiras das to sell the chametz if you're selling to a Nachri who doesn't really understand acquisitions in many cases, and a Nachri who couldn't even put up the full market value of the chametz. The way the Mechiras chametz is usually structured is that we'll go through a series of kinyanim with the Nachri right before Pesach to sell him, convey to him ownership of the chametz of all the families whom I'm representing. Yes. And each one has hands in a form that specifies where the chametz is located and what sort of chametz you have, a rough market value of the chametz. That makes the itemization as to the Gemiras Das. And then the way it's structured is we sell him the chametz and he gives us a down payment. The down payment has to be at least one pruta per sale. Let's say if I walk in representing 175 families, let's say, and you check the Rabbi Willig every 13th of Nisan will check the value of silver. Usually a pruta is slightly less than 2 pennies in terms of the value of the silver. I forget if it's 40 milligrams of silver or 25 milligrams of silver. So usually slightly less than 2 pennies. So we'll say 2 pennies per sale. So let's say if I'm representing 175 families, he's going to pay me $3.50. That's 2 cents per kinyan. And that's... Good. Let's say when I bought my house, and when probably almost all of your parents, if you live in a house that you own, bought their house, so typically people pay a down payment up front. Houses are pretty expensive, so most people are not paying on cash the full price right away. Usually you pay a down payment, typically 20%, sometimes less. And then the rest you pay back over time. Now, when you buy a house, usually you pay the down payment, and then the bank fronts the rest to the seller, and then you pay back the bank over time. But sometimes you'll go into a store and pay the store a down payment and pay the rest in installments. So that's the way it's structured here. Is we'll say, look, I'll walk in and say, look, I'm representing 175 families, and market value, we estimate the market value of the full market value of the chametz to be $80,000, let's say. And we totaled up everyone's individual numbers, say 175 families, $80,000. We'll talk in a moment about how the kinyanim work, but we'll perform 6 different kinyanim without chametz, one of which is that he's paying a down payment. That's the din. When you buy karka with kesef, so you don't have to give the full market value. You can even just give a down payment, and that already conveys full ownership of the property, and the rest is something that you only have to pay up. And the down payment could be as legally as small as a pruta. So he gave me $3.50. He gives me a stack of, how many quarters is that? 14 quarters, I think. And that's a down payment, and there's a law and contract that we both sign, which lays out, among other things, that the chametz is being sold for full market value in 2 cents per sale up front, and the rest is needs to be paid. The balance of the market value is owed in 10 days from the date of the sale. So now we get back to John Brown. So what's the godless of John Brown? The godless of John Brown is, number one, John Brown is a very successful real estate broker in Riverdale. So he's someone who actually appreciates acquisitions and understands acquisitions very well. This is not a theoretical item for him. And dresses simply, but is apparently a man of means who, if he wanted to, could front the entire market value of the chametz. He may not choose to. Then Rabbi Willig meets with John Brown again right after Pesach is over. and offers, and he has two choices. He can either front he owes the rest of the market value of the chametz. So he has the option to keep some or all of the chametz and pay whatever he owes on that, or he can sell it back at a profit. So Mr. Brown is not particularly interested in my Cheerios. So in the past, he has always sold it back. As I mentioned before, there are Rabbanim who will take the Nachri around in the course of Chol Moed. They'll randomly pick one house every year, and he'll go in and sample whatever there is. And after Pesach is over, he owes the full market. If he walks out with a box of Cheerios, so he'll pay after Pesach, that family will get a check for $5. If he walks out with a bottle of schnapps, the family will get a check for whatever, $80, $100. But you're right, it works legally. Right. It's understandable that he's not particularly interested in keeping, you know, the Cheerios and Wheaties of 500 people. But it is his. It is his. People often make short-term investments. It is his. But you're right. At the same time, that we make sure there is Gemiras Das, but it is a legal fiction. It is a Harama, which is why some posts were unhappy with it, Lagamre. And where Shechta develops and others follow as well, is that Harama to avoid a lav is okay, because Lamaisa, I didn't do the lav, right? But Harama to avoid a mitzvah aseh, that would be inappropriate. So that's why we don't sell away all the chametz, we sell away most of the chametz, but we leave the last bit to do tashbisu on afterwards, and that way we are in fulfillment of the mitzvah d'oreis of tashbisu with the post-mechira destruction. Moshe, you had a question? Sure. No, not at all. Good question. I believe it's a Gemara in Bechoros, but I would have to look it up. I'm glad to send it over when I find it. As you see, I decided to join you guys from outside from the backyard today. I have to go inside afterwards and pull the big fat off the shelf. I'd be glad to dig it up and send it over. Those who disagree and are unhappy with using a harama even to avoid a lav, so that gives rise to the approach that some have. That was the approach of Soloveitchik and others to not sell chametz gamur. That chumrah of not wanting to sell chametz gamur is based on taking the other approach. That really it's inappropriate to use a harama even to avoid an iser daraisa. So you shouldn't even avoid the iser by Rabbi Matzeh through mechira. So that's that question. Mikra din, we assume it's fine, but there are those who are machmir. As Rabbi Shechter and others have pointed out, this year, even those who usually have the minig to avoid selling chametz gamur, this year may make good sense to sell your chametz gamur so that you'll have some chametz to work with when Pesach is over. Now, how does the mechir? So, two final points here. From the mechir's chametz. In other words, number one, how does mechir? What do we do with the mechir's chametz? As I mentioned, six kinyanim, and I'm sorry, I cannot offer you. Extend that invitation this year. Come along with me, and we'll go see the six kinyanim. So maybe, but in years past, only a few guys every year will take me up on it. Usually, it's a couple guys in 12th grade, and sometimes a couple of alumni. So maybe 2-3 years from now, when you're back from Eretz Yisrael, or even next year, if you're back for Pesach, you're absolutely invited to come along with me. And it's actually fascinating. It's fascinating. There's six kinyanim is because there's a. The Gemara is a machlokas, Riochem Reish Lakish, about the following. Gemara is a machlokas. We know the Mishnah Kiddushin says, Taf Chavav, I believe, that you can, that there are different kinyan that work for Karka, different kinyan that work for Metaltlim. One of the kinyan that works for Karka is Kesef. You can, if you pay for the karka, as I said before, either of the full market value up front, or even just you pay a down payment, so kesef is one of the kinyanim that conveys karka. Metaltlim, the Mishnah doesn't mention kesef. The Mishnah says meshicha works. If you actually hand it over, and there's actual delivery of the item, if it's a movable item, it's not real estate, it's not karka, so you need to have meshicha. How about mos? How about if you pay for it? So halacha lamasa mos don't work, but there is a machlokas yochan shlakish. Why? One opinion is that really Dvar Torah Mos Konos, really min haTorah, money should work. But Chazal made a gzeira that you don't take possession of the metalplim as soon as you pay, because the problem is, if you have a dishonest seller, so he'll say, oh, I shipped it. I'm sorry I never got to you. But it was yours already, so it's your loss. Or he'll say, I got your money, and it was already yours, still sitting in my warehouse, and then I'm so sorry, nisrafu chitecha ba'aliyah. Your chitim burnt in my aliyah. I had a warehouse, and as soon as I got the money, it became yours. I'm so sorry there was a fire in the warehouse, and it's your loss. So because, so that's one approach, that really money works min haTorah. Midrabar Chazal got rid of it because of this concern of dishonest people. The other approach is no. That Mashiach, the other approach is Mashiach is not just a din drabanan. The fact that you take possession of metalklim when there's delivery, it's not just midrabanan. Maybe it's a din daraisa. Gemara has a drasha on a pasuk. Miyad amisecha, davar nikne miyad liyad, from hand to hand. That's the handoff that makes the kinyan. So again, a machlokas, whether Mashiach works min haTorah, or only midrabanan amataltim. A machlokas, whether money works min haTorah or not, from a taltim. And the Gemara says, based on the pasuk, whichever kinyan works for Yisrael is not the kinyan that works for a nachri. So the suffix, where the machlokas, whether money works min haTorah or not, l'may nafkamina. Either way, halacha l'maisa, money doesn't work min haTalpim. Yeah, but the nafkamina on the flip side is, for a kinyan between a Yisrael and a Nachri, does money work or does Mashiach work? Whichever one works min haTorah for between Yisraelim, the other one works bin Yisrael and Nachri. So usually, we don't really care. You walk into a store, you buy a bag of potato chips, you put money down on the counter, and you walk out. So usually, you do both Mos and Mashiach. So it's easy. And if I was selling a single behemah mivakeres, if I have a Jewish farmer on the phone with me, this happened not so long ago, I think I might have mentioned this to some of you guys, Jewish farmer on the phone with me, they're trying to figure out how is he going to take possession, how is he going to sell his animal, his behemah mivakeres, to a nachri, they do both. Let him pay you for it, and let him do mashicha, and then you're kona. That's fine. Or if I'm a single innkeeper who needs to sell a couple of barrels of whiskey, so you give it to the Nachri, he pays you for it, done. But the problem is, but if I'm selling the chametz that belongs to 500 people to a Nachri, how is that supposed to work? So kesef is easy, but mashicha is impossible. No way you can do mashicha, it's an impossibility. So to cover our bases, because it's a suffix whether or not kesef works, and we cannot do mashicha, so we start doing other kinyanim in case the mos, the kesef, doesn't work. Each one has a suffix associated with it, but between the six different kinyanim, we assume at least one of them will work. So what do we do? Number one, he pays kesef, 2 cents per batch of chametz. Number two, there's a shtar. We sign a document and I handed over to John Brown in front of 2 witnesses who are not related to any of the sellers. And we do a kinyan chalipin. John usually brings along a fantastic old school pocket knife, which he hands over in front of Adam to signify the kinyan happening. A kinyan number 4 is situmta. Situmta, the Gemara Bavasher says, is when you in a particular commercial environment. Sometimes there's something which is customary, minig hasochim. There's a custom in this environment that's considered to be the kinyan. So, for instance, if you're in the Diamond District, so it's understood that once you shake hands, you say mazel and bracha, the deal is done. The Gemara talks about a time in which once the buyer signed his name on the barrel of wine, that made it his. So, whatever is minig hasochim. So, to do that, the most classic type of minig hasochim is a handshake. So, John Brown pays for it. And I hand over a shtar, and he temporarily hands me his pocket knife as a kinyan sudar, a kinyan chalipin, and we shake hands on it, and 2 more kinyanim. The final 2 kinyanim have to do with the real estate upon which the chametz is located. Because we do those 4 kinyanim not only for the chametz, but then we do them again, another 2 cents per person, and the shtar covers both, and another handshake, and another handing over of the kli, of the pocket knife, to effect a rental of the property where the chametz is located. And that does 2 more kinyanim. That does a kinyan chatzer. He can take possession of the of the chametz by dint of the fact that he is the renter of the property where it's located, and kinyan agav. The Mishnah says, and this is where Rabbi Willig always points out, John Brown as a real estate agent is excited about the fact that in halacha, real estate is king. The halacha sees real estate, and so do people see real estate as more chashuv than metalklim. So once I saw a real estate listing, they were selling a house for $1.2 million, and they were throwing in the sports car with it. If you buy the house, you get the sports car also. So the din is, again, I don't think most people really need to spend $1.2 million on a house, but that's for a different time. But the din is, if we do a kinyan on the karka, you don't need, and I want to convey metalklim also, it's agav the karka. You get it automatically with the karka, you don't need a separate kinyan. So those are the six kinyanim that we'll do with John Brown. Kesef, shtar, chalipin, the kinyan suder, the pocket knife, situmta, minigasarchim, which in this case is a handshake, chatzer, because we did those four kinyanim also to rent him the property. So now he's kona the chametz, number five, the kinyan chatzer, and number six with kinyan agav. We specify that the conveying of the property will also convey the chametz as well. So a total of six kinyanim. Again, there's the questions raised by each of them. Does it work? Does it work? I mean, our Torah, does it work? Between Yisrael and Achri, between all six, we assume that we are pretty well covered. And one final point. I don't go on Erev Pesach morning to John Brown. Right? Neuberger represents us in Erev Pesach morning because I'm usually home in a typical year making a bonfire in the fire pit in the backyard. We take our beer chametz very seriously here. Yeah, maybe we'll have a Zoom beer chametz. No. So I go the afternoon before. It's called Mechiras Yud Gimel, Mechira on the 13th. Why would anyone be selling chametz on the 13th? And that takes us back to where we began. I said before that the Gemara says, Masechem Dav Dalad, that the bedika is a chiyuv upon whoever owns or is renting the property as of the beginning of the night of the 14th. So if I'm not going to be in my property at all, so usually if I'm in my house over Pesach and I plan to do bedikas chametz, I just want the particular chunks of chametz I want to sell away. So I sell that chametz the morning of Erev Pesach. But let's say I'm going to be out of my property legamrei for all of Pesach. So if I rent out the entire house to the Nachri, sell him all the chametz and rent him the entire house on the afternoon of the 13th, a half hour or an hour before Shkia, so then it turns that's the Mechiras Yud Gimel, Mechir I'm doing on the 13th of Nisan, in the afternoon. So by the time the 14th arrives, by the time Leil B'dikas Chametz arrives, the house has already been rented kol kulo to the Nachri. John Brown is already legally the tenant, and as such, there is no. It would be his chiyuv b'dikas chametz, but he's not mechuyev b'dikas chametz. So there's no chiyuv b'dikas chametz. We would only suggest doing that if, as you said before, we don't want to do a harama to avoid a mitzvah. So we would only suggest doing that if I'm going to have the opportunity to be mekayim b'dika elsewhere. Let's say I'm going to the grandparents. In a typical year, I'm going to the grandparents for Pesach. So I'll already be there by Leil B'dikas Chametz. I'll have the chance to participate in the Mitzvah Rabbanah of B'dikas Chametz over there. I'll be in Cleveland. I'll be in Cincinnati. I'll be in Detroit. I'll be in Houston. The Leil B'dikas Chametz, I'll participate in B'dikas Chametz over there. I'll have the Din Rabbanah of B'dikas Chametz. I just want to avoid having a Chiyuv B'dikas Chametz in my house because I'm not going to be home for all of Pesach. So then I can do the Mechiras Yud Gimel, sell all the chametz and rent the entire property to John Brown on the afternoon of the 13th, and that obviates any need for B'dikas chametz on that property at all. Obviously this year, unless I cut it out, sure, Hashem clarified, so you don't know for sure what will be, but we anticipate not traveling to the grandparents this year for Pesach. So this year, the Mechiras Yud Gimel plays only one other role, which is what if I leave you with this, we'll end with this following, Lamda Shechakira, is the Zmanim for Chametz, so they're a din in the Gavra or a din in the Cheftza. So what do we mean? Let's say I am in New Jersey and my Chametz is in Eretz Israel. My Chametz is 6-7 hours ahead of me. I'm in New Jersey, but my chametz is in Hong Kong, many hours ahead. So when does the iser to own chametz kick in? When it's shah chamishas for me, or shah chamishas for the chametz? Because it's going to be 10 o'clock in the morning for my chametz when it's 4 o'clock in the morning for me. So which zman does it follow? So if you do a regular mechiras chametz, mechiras yidalid, at the 10 o'clock in the morning, let's say, on Erev Pesach, but if my chametz is in Eretz Yisrael, so for my chametz to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's after chatzos. That's interesting, Shaila. We say, in the Torah, you're not allowed to have the, own the chametz after chatzos. Midrabanan, you have to already get out of your property an hour earlier. So is that nikba based on my zmanim or based on the chametz zmanim? So that's why if you have chametz that's located to the east of you, like in Eretz Yisrael, for instance, you know, once sold chametz, the fellow in the shul has a business in Zimbabwe and off the coast of Africa. So, and he has offices there that he visits a couple, number of times a year, and he has some chametz. He leaves from kosher food, he leaves for himself, you know, from visit to visit. So we sell his chametz also the afternoon before. And that way it's out of his property before it becomes the Zman Yisrael chametz at the chametz. And vice versa, if you're on the East Coast, but you have chametz in L.A., you have chametz in Seattle, you have chametz in Oakland, we would only buy that chametz back from John Brown a few hours after Pesach is over. So that way, not only is Pesach over for you, but Pesach is even over for the chametz as well. Okay, a question from Moshe. Okay.